You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Jonathan Williams, Director of the Tax and Fiscal Policy Task Force at the American Legislative Exchange Council. We've asked Jonathan to join us today to talk about the money set aside in this massive economic stimulus bill designed to help out programs inside states and even smaller jurisdictions than that, such as cities and other communities. And Jonathan, thanks so much for being with us.
It's great to be with you, Greg.
We know that a lot of states have balanced budget requirements. They have to balance their budgets, and therefore, when revenues aren't as high as they normally are, they get into fiscal trouble. California is probably the most glaring example of that right now. So are these states just suffering from a bad economic downturn, or are they suffering from really poor fiscal management before the economy hit the skids?
Well, you know, states have spent, unfortunately, like drunken sailors on a 48-hour furlough in many cases in the last decade. During the last economic recovery, we saw states spend exorbitant amounts of money on education, health care, transportation across the board. And as the revenues poured in, the spending kept up, and they spent every last dime of the revenues that they got. And they didn't save for a rainy day. And that's the problem, is that we know that the economy goes through boom and bust cycles. And now, of course, we're facing a bust. And unfortunately, there was no rainy day funds left in many of these states from the good times. And that's something we encourage states to do, because you're right, 49 states have balanced budget requirements. And while it'd be nice that the federal government had one, that means that the states have to make tough choices. And since you and I have to live within our means, this is a good time to remind state lawmakers that they, too, have to live within their means, and it's time to reduce spending during this downturn.
Well, we're talking with Jonathan Williams of the American Legislative Exchange Council. And Jonathan, during the presidential campaign last year, we heard Governor Sarah Palin mention that her state's running a surplus. How unique is that right now across the 50 states?
Well, it's very unique. There's only about five states that are even or have a small surplus this year, and mostly they're states that have natural resource production that were able to get extra revenue from severance taxes and other taxes on oil and gas or mining. And so we see well over 40 states with budget problems, as you mentioned, some being very severe, as in the case of California, with a roughly a $40 billion budget deficit over the next 18 months. But we do see a few states that have done well. And so those states have a very unique opportunity to take this downturn and use those surplus dollars to really invest in true stimulus by reducing marginal tax rates and reducing the burden of taxes on all taxpayers.
We've seen governors and mayors come to Washington kind of with their hands out, hoping for a decent chunk of this stimulus package. But as you point out in a piece that you co-authored today in the Washington Examiner, a lot of these projects, number one, won't even get off the ground for at least a couple of years. And number two, they're essentially already paid for by state funds that are now in the red. And so the federal government's just actually paying the bill. So how much stimulus are we looking at?
Little to none. That's the unfortunate truth here, is that even for some of the better spending and the more justified spending programs in the national stimulus, such as road construction and repair, sometimes those will take years to get off the ground. And by that time, you know, the national economy will have recovered. And unfortunately, what we have seen is many more bridges to nowhere and pork barrel spending in this bill, putting in, for instance, funding greens for individual golf courses, money to go towards STD prevention, contraceptives, you name it. This is a politician's and a special interest's best dream right here.
You point out in your piece also that it's monetary policy and tax relief, not Keynesian spending increases, that usually end up stimulating the economy. What can the states do from their perspective, and what help should they seek from Washington on those two fronts?
Well, when it comes to monetary policy, there's really very little that we can do right now. We've really primed the pump as much as we can. We've had the Fed funds rate at zero now for quite some time. We need to be focusing on tax relief. That's what ends recessions. Keynesian spending does not end recessions. Monetary policy and tax relief does. There is tax relief included in the economic stimulus bill, but all tax cuts are not created equally. And we need to focus on permanent tax relief. That's something that Milton Friedman taught us all, is that to increase economic growth, you must permanently reduce people's taxes and increase the expectation of future earnings. And so we really need to get to marginal rate reductions at the federal level. But to your question at the state level, first of all, states should not be sitting around and waiting for a federal handout. When has a dollar ever flowed from Washington without about 1,000 strings attached to it? So really, the states would get themselves into more trouble by ceding more authority to the federal government through, quote-unquote, free money. What they ought to be doing is using this time as a time to streamline government, make government more efficient, and pare back what the unbelievable spending increases we've seen over the last decade. State spending is up 125% over the last 10 years, and while state debt is up an incredible 95% over that same period.
About a minute left here with Jonathan Williams of the American Legislative Exchange Council. And Jonathan, we obviously mentioned California as a state that's in a huge financial quandary right now. Are most states at least within shooting distance of, if they do in fact streamline government and maybe restructure the tax code a little bit in their individual states, that they're going to be back in line without too much pain? Or have most of them overspent so much that they're in really in dire straits right now?
Well, California is an anomaly in this category, and it's really a case study on what not to do at the state level. It's really a consequence of liberalism run amok in Sacramento. It's a very curious example where you have a state with the highest income tax rate in the nation, the highest sales tax rate in the nation, yet the highest budget deficit by far. And so if you need any more evidence that taxes are damaging to economic growth, look no further than California. And so really, they are far and away the worst situation right now. Other states are taking steps to reduce spending across the board in some cases by targeting particular agencies and programs that are underperforming in other cases, and really being able to get very close to balancing the budget without raising taxes or without relying on federal help. For instance, Governor Jan Brewer in Arizona has recently adopted a 5% across-the-board spending reduction in Arizona, and they've taken what has been a very severe budget problem there into being in very close striking distance of balancing the budget without hurting taxpayers. That's the type of example I'd like to be able to talk more about. Unfortunately, we see proposals like Governor David Patterson in New York that wants to increase taxes on 137 different items in the budget this year.
Jonathan, thank you so much for being with us.
It's great to be with you, Greg. Thanks.
Jonathan Williams is Director of the Tax and Fiscal Policy Task Force at the American Legislative Exchange Council. This is Dateline Washington.